Hey friends, this episode of A Tiny Revolution is brought to you by Reimagination Masterclass, a 12-week group spiritual direction cohort designed to help you move deeper into the spiritual practice and life you are always meant to live. Classes in session on September 22nd, so go to thekevingarcia.com/masterclass to learn more. And just so you know, there's a pretty sweet discount that lasts until the 22nd. So go over to that right now before you do anything else. I love you. Let's start the show.
A Tiny Revolution features adults having adult conversations, so adult language is going to be present, just so you know.
Hey friends, you're listening to A Tiny Revolution, a podcast about ordinary people living revolutionary lives. Welcome to episode 100. Oh my god. I mean, this episode was recorded back in July during the Wild Goose Festival, but it's just, I made it. We're here. We made it to episode 100. Can you freaking believe that? I'm pretty stoked and pretty blown away by this thing that we created together. Like, it started off with me in a basement with a really no idea what I was doing. And, you know, now I'm recording this in LA with some friends and I'm about to go do some cool stuff. And it all really happened because you guys showed up and kept listening. And to all the new folks who are finding the podcast now, I'm really thrilled that you're here. Thank you for being a part of this journey with me and joining in. I hope you go back and listen to some of my favorite episodes, which over the course of the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing some encore episodes, because right now I'm really focusing on finishing my book, but I don't want to not put things out. So you'll be hearing some encore episodes of my favorite conversations with my friends here on Tiny Revolution. So, welcome to episode 100. What a crazy freaking time to be alive, you guys. A few things before I dive into just introducing who I'm talking to on the podcast. Right now, I'm enrolling for my masterclass, and there's a really, really sweet discount happening right now till the 23rd. It's a long story short, it's a spiritual direction cohort. Because I know so many of us out here have been trying to get over our spiritual trauma, and we don't know how to do it. And I personally believe it happens through vulnerability. And the only time we're vulnerable is when we're together. But how many times are we actually together in the same space? Not often. So that is what the Reimagination Masterclass is all about. Trying to help you figure out what is it in your life that you actually want, and how can we help you attain that? How can we get you there? How can we help reimagine the realities you have so you can reignite your dreams and reclaim the life that you were always meant to live? Yes, that was alliteration. And yes, I am a preacher / pastor. So what can I say? I can't get it out of my blood. but if you're curious about it, go over to thekevingarcia.com/masterclass and enroll today. I'm only taking 12 folks. So if you're curious about it at all, sign up. And best part, it's not going to break the bank either. There's financing available for as little as $85 a month, and trust me, for other group coaching programs out there, that is a steal. So go check it out, thekevingarcia.com/masterclass. That's all I'm going to say about that. And that's all the introduction I'm going to give for the show, because I actually introduced the guests at the beginning of the podcast, and you probably already looked at the title of the show and you know who's going to be on here, so why prolong this any longer? So this is my conversation live from the Wild Goose Festival. Welcome to episode 100.
Gonna be the introduction here. So Kevin, when you're listening to this back, this is where you started, okay?
future Kevin
loves present Kevin so much. We'll get into that in a minute. What's my opening line? A Tiny Revolution contains adults having adult conversations, so adult language is gonna be present, just so you know. And hello, welcome to A Tiny Revolution, a podcast about ordinary people living revolutionary lives. My name is Kevin Garcia, and this is the 100th episode live at the Wild Goose Festival. We have a great show lined up for you today, you guys. We're just really excited. Here's the thing about me in all of my podcasts. I never go in with a plan for the conversation. I just invite my friends on. And we get really weird just really get really deep on it. And I'm excited for two reasons, because the two people sitting next to me today are A, the first guest on the podcast ever, and B, the woman who named the podcast.
Did you know that?
So So please give a warm welcome to the wonderful, the talented, the illustrious, the beautiful, the self-made woman who is building something out of nothing because she's incredible, who's got divine design, who is literally the most good-looking woman at this park, if I do say so myself, if I do say so myself.
Stop.
The Reverend Sarah Heath, everybody.
Hi. I thought he was going to say you.
That's an intro, damn.
I know.
I see. He said extravagant. I'm just like, I got to live up to that, you know.
Before every sermon, I would really like if someone would play that, ladies and gentlemen. Could you be my hype man? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen. That's my new one. I'd love to work with.
We have to do at least one liturgist podcast where you introduce every guest.
Oh, one.
Wait, he has introduced you yet? Oh, is that too much of a buildup?
No. So again, like, you know, there's nothing fluffy about my work. And the person on my far right, you may know him as a human who answers questions on the internet despite not having any sort of like higher educational degrees. But you know what? He's like, fuck the institution. I know my shit. I am research. I've got the data to back it up. Not only that, but he's got a faith that can move mountains sometimes, honey. He's a dear, dear friend, a sweetheart to the world, and honestly, your favorite dad. Give it up for the one and only science, Mike McCarg.
I've done my best to represent the dads today with my attire, so that's not good radio. You all can't see that I'm wearing zip-off camping pants, which are currently zipped off.
You are welcome.
And a Columbia shirt.
We got sexy real fast.
Yeah, let me tell you what. I saw those knees, and I was like, oh, my God.
We had a prayer session just about it, about your knees.
I had to go pray the demon of homosexuality out of me again. They say the devil is prowling like a roaring lion, honey. And because of that, that is why I'm gay. That's not true. I don't know. So this is the 100th episode of A Tiny Revolution, which is wild because I actually at this point haven't released episodes 95 through 99 yet. So, you know, we're in the future already, guys. This is a powerful moment. How does it feel?
You work that far in advance?
Oh, yeah. I stack my interviews.
Wow.
So that I can go back and just like, ooh, I feel like this person coming here. So like I threw up my interview with my friend Antonia, which if you haven't listened to that one, it's called Fat and Queer, and it is an amazing podcast about body positivity. And also the time when I realized that I'm like actually like staunchly bisexual, but not in the way you think. It's like a real interesting thing. Maybe we'll get into that. Maybe we'll get into, oh, you know what? Here's a good idea. Before I get into this, I want to say, thank you for being here. First of all, it is really, really cool to see people in public because a lot of times working on the internet, you don't get to see the actual person to person relationships. And, that's what I maintain with these humans is like a person to person relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thankful that you guys have been my protectors and my circle and like my hedge of protection. Mm. So I love you and I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, we're glad to be here. Oh, Mike's already crying.
I nod on the damn internet all the time. So this is me recording a podcast. And even now, like, you all get it. The people listening, they don't know I'm
nodding. That's why.
But they're like, he's so deep, he pauses before everything he says.
But see, like, I'm the guy who's like, yeah. And then, like, on the other end, I'm like, I can't tell if people are getting annoyed by that, like, on the actual podcast of Kevin going,
Now I'm an active listener, so I'm doing it with you in my car. He's right.
It's kind of like the laugh track on the comedy shows. I'm going to tell you when to have a deep thought. Inception. Right? Is that how that works?
I don't know.
It is. Well, yeah, it actually is.
Mike, how does Inception work? No, let's not go there. That would take a while.
So things that are coming up for myself. I own a t-shirt line / apparel line called Queerly Beloved. You can go to queerlybeloved.shop. I'm wearing one of our designs right here. It's a golden heart that says Queerly Beloved. It's very sexy, very cool, and queer owned and operated. So if you want to support queer businesses and fund the revolution, that's one way to do it. Two, I'm a full-time creative, and so if you like what you hear today, you could find me at patreon.com/thekevingarcia. Join the community. I have really amazing people who surround me and are part of an amazing Slack channel. And what's anything else going on? I'm planning a queer adult summer camp next summer, so and everyone's invited, including straights and cisgender people. So if you want to be a part of the dopest summer camp experience of your life, you can subscribe to my newsletter and get all that. I'm going to write my book, and it's going to be done in the next couple months because I'm so sick of not putting it out there, and I'm going to self-publish it. That's my other big announcement.
It's going to be really good. Can you tell them the title?
The title, working title, is Bad Theology Kills, a subtitle, An Antidote to Toxic Christianity, where I'm going to basically talk about all the crap that's been rolling around in my brain that I've been too afraid to say on the internet because there is this point where I feel like...
Hold on. You're telling me the Christian industrial complex didn't want to publish a book subtitled The Antidote to Toxic Christianity, wherein you write out the things that you are afraid to say on the internet?
No, it's...
That sounds... I'm surprised.
Personally, like, I'm sold, but I could see it, like, in a pitch meeting with, like, one of the,
like this is... I'm getting, like...
Walter Brook Mullenow being like,
I've heard you on the internet. What are you not saying? Like, that's what they're like.
No, it's
are there drawings? Like, what is this?
No, because it's one of those things where, like, even within, like, progressivism, like, we have this, like, tendency to, like, eat our own.
Yeah.
Oh. Or, like, and, like, my question has been for the past few months, like, what is going to be the thing that's going to get me kicked out of, like, the progressive circle? wink, wink, Jamie.
We might know someone who had a similar title and got kicked off Instagram, so...
It's one of those things where just, like, I'm always wondering, like, where the line is. And I think the development I've had in the past, I don't know, like, probably 4 weeks, it's been, like, a season of immense growth. What a line. It's because I'm, like, still a Christian most times, maybe.
Tuesday. You usually tell me on Tuesday you're a Christian.
Yeah, Tuesday feels like a good time. You know, there's, like, Vespers at the local chapel for me. What I realized 2 weeks ago is I really don't give a fuck if people see me as a Christian or not, and I also don't care if I label myself that way. The thing that has come up for me is a question Jesus asked, which was, who do you say that I am?
Yep.
Because I think what we've, like, learned over the past few months is that, what you say you believe, like, it doesn't mean shit. You know, what you say you believe is... You know, you can be Donald Trump and say, I love Jesus. And, you know, there was also an airport during the Revolutionary and the rockets red glare over the international airport. You can be like a douchebag like that who's literally, like, raped and assaulted women and call yourself a Christian. And, you know, the public will gobble it up. But I'm over here, like, you know, just trying to make spaces for queer people to explore faith. And it's like, you're not a Christian. You could never be a Christian. Or, like, you believe science or are a woman pastor.
Ooh, I am. I always think that's funny when people are like, do you know you're not allowed to be a pastor? And whenever they say that, I want to be like, what?
No one told me.
I went to grad school and no one told me. You're just like, what? It's like this thing, like, oh, my ovaries don't let me. Okay, well, I don't make that much money, so maybe I'll find something else to do. It's like the weirdest, like, what?
It's wild.
It is a weird thing. I think people have to understand the difference between orthodoxy and orthopraxis.
Okay.
So orthodoxy is like if we all have the same thoughts. And for so long, especially American Christianity, has really focused on, do we all think the same thing? Here are three things we think. And we're pretty sure it's in the Bible because the dude usually in front of us said it. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, can we agree around this? Because then we know our tribe and who's in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot harder if we start talking about orthopraxis or how do we live that out? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. Some of my, I would say, best Christian friends would not say they're Christians, yet the way that they're living,
right?
Tell me, huh, there's something going on in there. And if I feel there's a Christness in that, mm-hmm. then that is the divine and that sacred space between orthopraxy, which I'd rather see what you do than what you say, honestly. Done.
That's too substantive and weighty for me to comment.
Oh, whatever.
No, but I really think that's the thing. It's just like, show me what you're doing.
And I also think there's a weird thing, like you say, eating or... I think there's this weird thing about the minute you put, like, Christian label on it, I actually think it's really difficult and really problematic because then everyone says, well, what version of Christian are we talking about?
Yeah, because there's people who, like, you know, hear, oh, you're a Christian, oh, you hate gay people, and I'm like, girl. Just the ones that won't date me.
My favorite thing you ever said is someone said, are you a practicing gay? And you said, honey, I'm professional. And I was like,
yeah, you a practicing homosexual? I'm like, girl, I get paid for it. Not like that. Although, like, you know.
But $20 is
But not that sex work is wrong at all, because at the end of the day, if, like, you know, if I could get it, I would. But But I want to say, hi, babe. It's good to see you. That's my friend, Laura. Laura, man. Yeah, it's fine. You don't have to stay for my podcast. It's okay.
We're really...
That's true. Bye, hon.
I didn't know it was a roast. Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you what. Two of my friends were staying with the Jeremiah and Matthias Roberts. They're not... No, Jeremiah Stanley, who's dating someone else. Not their... Anyways. Matthias is still single, so if anybody wants to holler
and really
at that,
cute, he kind of looks like Bobby from Queer Eye.
Oh my gosh, last year, not even joking, walking around Matthias Roberts,
this is my
people were coming
story.
Up to him and saying, oh my god, I just want to say thank you so much for
thank
what
you
you're
for
doing.
Your work.
Thank you for your work. It's just, it's so amazing to see like your journey, and of course it just makes sense that you're here. And he's like, wow, this is my first year at the Goose, people recognize me.
He has a podcast called Queerology, so he's like, people are really being impacted. They're like, what you're doing for the LGBTQIA
yeah,
community.
Which is also, it's later today, it's on the schedule, it's come
it's
back
great.
For Queerology. It's going to be dope. 2:30. And so he's like, oh, can we take a picture? And Matthias is like, yeah, of course. He's like, oh, my gosh. I can't wait to tell my wife I saw Bobby Burke at Wild Goose Festival.
And none of us wanted to tell him the truth.
And he was like, who do you say that I am?
Sometimes you have to live into a different identity.
You know, listen, I am crucified with Christ and or something.
I was at a Christian concert thing, and they, for whatever reason, I must look like somebody's wife.
I mean, it happened a minute ago, too, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. So I'm standing there, and they're like, are you, oh, you must be so-and-so's wife. And I looked, and I saw the food stuff, and I was like, yep. And so they, like, let me in, and then I got a massage by Jars of Clay's masseuse. And I was like, but then it got bitch. Weird when they're like, do you want to, are you going to be, because they used to travel with the masseuse.
I was about to say, Jars of Clay just has like a staff masseuse?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what your tithes are going to.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it got a little weird when they're like, same thing, we really loved your music. And then I was like, oh crap, they actually think I'm one of the musicians. So then I was like, thank you. And they're like, what inspires you? And I was, God, like I hadn't, which is true, but not in this moment.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
That is funny.
Yeah. And I got to meet the guy who wrote Left Behind. Yeah. Because he was
okay.
on stage.
Can I say an unpopular opinion?
You like those books, don't
you? Wait for it. With a huge caveat. If we just can, like, turn off our brains and just forget about the fact that, like, it's really bad theology and, like, really harmful and problematic and, like, it was just, like, totally just, like, exploitive of, like, the fear center that, you know, evangelical Christianity has wrought upon the world. It's a really thrilling novel.
Also, you know. How I'd like you to introduce us reading scripture at my church.
God. Yeah, this is my unpopular opinion. I don't think that, what was that, James Cameron? What was, not James Cameron, that's a director. Kirk Cameron.
The movie?
Yeah, I don't think he did
I
a great job.
I saw that in the theater.
Yes, you did. But did you see the one, did you know Nick Cage?
I was
Cage?
Like, we got to support Christian movies, y'all. Let's go see this film.
I mean, you listen, we were talking about just like, show us what you're about. You did it with your dollars.
God. Oh.
No, that was pre-daughters. That was...
With your dollar money.
Oh, dollars. Yeah, I did take my dollars to support that film. Mm-hmm. And I walked out and was like, that was a mistake. That movie was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be... I
did have a guy hit on me one time by telling me he was in it, though. He's like, I was in these movies that are called Lift. And I was like, okay.
Maybe it was just a paycheck for him, but like it was his first thing. He was like really proud of it, and he heard you were a pastor, so he was like, she's going to be impressed by this.
Yeah.
By the way, I was in a Christian movie.
I think that was the moment, yeah. Yeah.
So in the spirit of like talking about how things have changed and mm-hmm. whatnot, it's been 3 years of the podcast, which is really, really crazy.
Yeah.
And... I mean, I guess that's like my longest committed relationship in many ways is with my podcast. And so I know that I have had a whole lot of changes, but I'm wondering, this is going to be me making it about me.
Oh.
And then also like, I want to talk about like what I've seen in y'all too. It's like, I want to talk about what's changed about us in the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, just in the past 3 or 4 years, because I feel like, I mean, I came out 4 years ago. And hit the ground running because, you know,
I would say you hit the ground like sashaying. Because you were like,
oh, yeah, honey,
here.
She doesn't run. Let's be honest. I mean, this woman was up at the ass crack of dawn with that man over there with the muscly arms, and they were running up and down the goddamn mountain.
It was true. Yeah,
and
we were.
They came back sweating, and I'm like, I need to go pray. Like I said, I'm bisexual now, so I was like, wow. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
So, yeah, I would say one thing that's changed about me is how, like, openly I talk about sex and desire.
Hmm.
And I think that has been a really powerful practice for me because, I mean, I take a line from the book The Ethical Slut, which if you've not read it, highly recommend it. Even if you're not somebody who wants to engage with non-monogamy, the way it talks about communication is some of the it's gospel. It's like, what would happen if you asked for what you wanted? What would happen if you asked for what you needed? And what would happen if, like, you actually were truthful about things like jealousy or the fact that you feel insecure even when you shouldn't feel insecure because you're a badass, you know? So, like, that for me, like, I think that radical honesty is something I have begun to adopt, and I think I recently just got, like, to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm definitely not lying anymore about anything. And it's like really fucking cool. And that's another reason I'm going to write this fucking book, because I'm tired of, you know, lying about like not using tarot cards or being a witchy woman or, you know, all of my weird, ooky, spooky, expansive theology. And the fact that I also still love Jesus, and I don't even know what that means. But
I think it's one of the things I just so value about you in our friendship is those moments when I, you know, as someone who works and as a full-time pastor and all the other projects that I have, is whenever I feel, even in like community or friendships, I'll say something to you like, I don't know if I should say that. And you're always like, it's just information. And I thought that's been such a helpful thing, is you've learned your honesty and your truth is to be able to be like, it's neither good nor bad. It's just information.
It's just data.
So it's so helpful, because I think sometimes we like make things bad or good, and then we kind of miss out on what's actually happening in front of us. And so I'm really grateful for that. So what has changed for you, Mike?
Episode one of A Tiny Revolution. I was just like,
oh, yeah.
Cool person from Twitter. Twitter fave.
Also, I was so nervous on that first call.
I remember.
Well, that is good, because like I was shaking. And I also didn't think that you were like, I don't know. It was one of those things where like people tend to not see other people as people.
Hmm.
And I got to meet you over at the beer tent.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, that's, I don't know. That's how I didn't. That's how I always have known you, as a friend at the beer tent.
Yeah. Well, sorry. That's kind of been like, I saw you as a person for sure, but
yes.
Good to know.
Not as a media figure. But I have this like constant, perhaps excessive awareness of my whiteness and my maleness and my straightness and just all this like space that takes up social dynamically. And so like all the good shit in progressive Christianity and spirituality is not coming from whiteness and maleness and straightness. All of it. And so I have this like tendency to try to like put on my cloaking shield and take up as little space as possible. Just like try to disappear if I can, to proactively make space for others, counter to the space society encourages me to take, right? So like you, master's degree, ordination, and people are like, you can't be a pastor. Me, college dropout, deordained.
But
and people
are
like, but you read some
beard.
Books,
yeah.
You're an expert.
Wait, like disordained? Right? Like they said they defrocked you?
Well, you know.
Which my mom asked if there was a ceremony if that happens. I'm like, no, mom.
There's no ceremony. It's just like the Southern Baptist Convention wasn't thrilled with the affirming posture and corresponding move to the Methodist Church. Like that just wasn't like.
It wasn't the thing they were throwing.
Not a thing. Yeah, so just kind of tear them.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not a big deal. I'm not angry or sad.
Mm. Listen, I'll ordain you.
But what I experienced starting with that conversation and then subsequently from you was this persistent invitation to be myself, to not hide, and that whoever I was and wherever I was in my process and my journey was like welcomed and encouraged and loved by you. And that's been, we've gotten a lot closer in the subsequent 3 years, right? Like, you've become like someone I really confide in and like a really vital support in my life. And for someone whose tendency is to say, I'm always here to help, but need nothing, someone like the revolution of love that you represent is to say, like, no, I'm not here just to be supported. I'm here to support and love in return. That's relationship. I actually use you as an example in my next book about, like, people who push past the boundary of my, like, my trained white male self-sufficiency and say, you know, no, bitch, we are interdependent. So.
Yes. If I'm not quoted as no, bitch, we're interdependent. Nah, like, nah, girl, that ain't it. That ain't it, sis.
I think that's the thing that's changed a lot in the last 3 years, even for me. I'm a United Methodist clergy member, which is really tough to be right now, if I'm honest. God. And so many times...
I can't imagine why.
especially because my community is a really amazingly weird place. Like, it's really... It's weird. You've got, like, a Republican candidate for city council sitting next to a lesbian couple that plays professional football. And it's, like, the most... And they're really close. And it's beautiful. And I have this system now that's saying, like, hey, those weddings that you did... Oops, I'm saying it on the radio. Might mean that you have to give us your piece of paper back.
You can let me know if you want to edit that out later.
Nah, I don't mind. There's pictures on the internet.
Damn.
Because when the first couple asked me, here I am, a cisgender white woman, I think I have the same experience you do where I feel like my voice, and you're someone who encourages me all the time on this, I'm like, my voice, it's not, who needs to hear another cisgender white woman say, you know, whatever. And
the problem with society is not too many women speaking.
Well, the heterosexuals, you know, and I'm not a mommy blogger, so I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I have a dog.
I mean, that's where, you know, I don't give you any credit because you're just not a mother.
Yeah, well, I know. But I had this realization that in this moment when I was being asked by this couple, they're sitting there and I had this thing where I feel like the Holy Spirit, like I get goosebumps, right? And this couple is telling me their story and it's so powerful. And they say, we've never had someone that we considered was our pastor before together as a couple. And they've been together 9 years at this point. And they said, we're ready to get married and you're our pastor. Can you do it? And in this moment, I was like, here it is. You know, like, am I going to live this thing out? And then they said the thing that broke my heart. They said, but you don't have to wear your robe.
Oh.
And we won't take pictures.
Wow.
And that was the moment. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling you and being like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And you were like, you can find another job, which is true.
Yeah.
But to think that I, as their pastor, wouldn't do their wedding.
Yeah.
That's harmful.
Yeah.
So I cheated. And I baptized them because in the Book of Discipline, it says you have to baptize people. Like, the things you have to do as an ordained elder, you must do the sacraments for members of your church. So I baptized them as members of my church and then married them because it's first in the Book of Discipline. So I was like, I just did the one that was first. I thought it was more important. So, but I let them take pictures and I said, because this isn't a gate, this is a wedding. And guys, they walked down the aisle to I Can Only Imagine. And that was the hardest part of the wedding for me. But
I don't know if I'm triggered or touched. Like, we're all just like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And also, like, I feel so panicky. Yeah. I Can Only Imagine.
But I think
when I dig, and I found myself.
Sung by two men from the gay chorus from LA. It was beautiful. But it wasn't an act.
Oh, God.
For me, it wasn't an act of resistance. because the truth of the matter is I don't ever want to steal the voice of the people that should be. We both have this problem all the time where we're like, no, no, it shouldn't be our voice. But I remember you saying, like, sometimes you have to speak for people who aren't allowed
exactly.
to speak in that moment.
They so will not let this sister in a room sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, I like it's like you being in your straight men's pastor club.
Yeah, which, by the way, if you want to hear about when I had breakfast with Trump and hanging out with my evangelical pastor's men's group I'm in, that will be this afternoon.
Dead serious. Go
I'm
to her,
sis.
But, like, that's exactly it, is that, like,
there are spaces where my voice, I know,
sorry,
you're triggered.
I don't like that guy.
I know.
Oh, sorry, I didn't put a trigger warning.
Yeah.
Sorry. My bad.
Put it later. But I think there is this, like, profound moment where I, in the last 3 years, have learned that my voice, even though sometimes I get it wrong, and I'll call you and be like, I don't know what this is. Like, true story, I finally admitted, I thought pansexual were men who were attracted to young boys like Peter Pan. Guys,
yeah,
that's where I was. This was years ago, and I would call and be like, what is this? And you allow me to be ignorant about things and allow me to, like, learn things, and I think that then amplifies, like, I hope when I use my voice, I use
so
it well.
Sorry.
And I'm a two, so
it's okay. I swatted it to the floor.
You're such an athlete. That's the first thing I think when I see you. By the way, this man calls me. He used to call me before events because I love sports. Like, I love sports, so I'm super girly and also into sports. Whatever. He would call me and be like, "Who's in the Super Bowl? I'm speaking at an event and I need to know." And they'd be like, "Give me a couple names." And I'm only imagining you on stage being like, "Tom Brady."
When I was in college, we had this thing where I was in a fraternity, believe it or not. You all still hear me out there?
Uh-oh.
Check mic one.
Oh, did we?
Check mic one. Check mic one. Oh. I was in a fraternity in college, if you can believe it. I know.
Obviously.
Obviously. obviously. So. But we played this game often where my fraternity brothers would say, "Let's make Kevin name professional athletes." So, all right, Kevin, give me 5 NBA players. And I was like, LeBron James. Michael Jordan retired a long time ago. I remember that. Scottie Pippen also retired. Basically,
you've already exceeded me.
So the thing is, like, I can only remember that which was on Space Jam.
Oh, fair.
If I'm being honest.
That's fair.
Yeah,
so those, I think, there are the things that have changed for me. It's having a bolder voice and not being afraid, because I think there's this weird thing where for so long I did work really hard to get ordained, especially as, like, it sounds weird, but as, like, a woman, I guess it doesn't sound weird, but as a woman getting ordained and I'm not married and so I have no coverage. And so, like, by the way, there should just be a podcast. Sarah tries to date, like, in hit come on lines.
Absolutely.
Lines.
A dating podcast?
I was kidding. There should not. That's not a good idea.
Oh, my gosh. But listen, we could, like, we'll send you on Tinder dates. And then as we're doing the Tinder dates, we're going to have a live recording of that person. And then we can analyze it to see.
I'm sure there's a line of men who think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to attach probes to them to get biometrics throughout the date.
Yeah.
And this is why we don't have.
Then we could do a data-driven analysis of the underlying physiology moment by moment.
Yeah, this is something. This is some, like, NPR.
And this is why my father calls me an unclaimed treasure. Because of my hedge of protection.
Yes, you go out with Sarah. I just need you to wear a wire.
And it's LA, so they'd be like, okay.
That sounds. I'm practicing for a role.
Yeah. I think there is this thing, though. I think because I work so hard to get into the club, right, the ordination club, I was so afraid that I would disappoint people. I'm a two, if you can't tell. I was afraid of, like, disappointing people or hurting people. And so for me to speak my truth, it's hard sometimes, but it's weird how this, like, rage inside of me of love, and I know that sounds funny, but I don't cry. I'm Canadian and British. We're literally not allowed to. But when I think about the injustice towards my friends, like, when people say horrible things, like, it's my friends. And so I think that's the gift of, like, finally hearing my voice is strengthened by your voice, because I think Kevin can't say this, but I can.
Yeah. Because, like, I think it's the same idea with, like, success, where, like, there's the scarcity mindset of that if I have a huge-ass piece of the pie, there's going to be less pie for you, because, like, that person's getting a big slice and that person's getting a big slice. And then by the end of it, I'm picking up the crumbs from the table. And we always we always feel like we can only beg for scraps.
Right. Mm.
Rather than seeing it as a casserole. Because, like, for some reason, casseroles, there's never the bottom of
I'm
the dish.
I'm like, yes.
It's like, how many leftovers am I putting in these gallon-sized bags for the freezer?
Also, it makes me suspect. I don't make casseroles.
But it was just, it was, and I think, I don't like food metaphors, but just, like, that success and happiness and joy, that there's an infinite amount of it, because yeah. it's literally, like, right beyond a peripheral vision if you just turn and look at it. In some ways, or that just like the need to get into a club, like this idea of like this is one of the reasons I'm struggling so hard with like wanting to stay in seminary, is because it's credentialism.
Yeah.
And like, even though like, yes, I love the knowledge I'm getting, it's very important that I know the tradition if I want to speak about my tradition. Two, the pastoral care classes have only helped, but I'm already doing what I want to do, and I don't need a piece of paper from someone to say, oh yeah, you are officially allowed to do the thing that God has already called you to do. And then I think about like the Bible, like, you know, Melchizedek. You know Melchizedek?
Anyone? Everyone's like, yeah.
Melchizedek? Mm-hmm. Melchizedek?
No.
Bless you.
Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God mentioned in Genesis yes. as Abram is traveling along the way to wherever he's supposed to go, the land that God will show him. And Melchizedek, this is before like mainline Judaism, before First or Second Temple Judaism came up. So there was no way for that asshole to get ordained. He was just roaming around the desert and was a priest of the Most High God. And Abram was like, oh my God, yes you are. Let me give you like 18,000 sheep or whatever, because... you deserve that as a priest of the Most High God, apparently. But, like, that was the thing. So just, and then Jesus later on was called a priest in the order of Melchizedek. So it was like, all right, hey, Jackie, how you doing, babe?
But I think he's speaking to a reality, though, yes. is you can walk in a room and you're already assumed to have so much knowledge, whereas I walk into a room and it's like, it's weird because I find myself sometimes like,
ooh, I got a story for you in a minute.
I can be in this room, you know, kind of thing, or I feel like I can... I have to have the credentials to even be allowed to the table.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yes. But let me tell you what. I'm giving less and less shits about the table. Because, like, there's this thing where Richard Rohr was always talking about, like, being on the edge of the inside, right?
Yeah.
Which I love that. Being on the edge of the inside so you can still affect change on the system. And I've just come to the conclusion that I don't think I'm even meant to be on the edge of the inside. I am right now
You're
being called...
the wilderness.
Yes, I'm called to turn an about face to the sunrise to see the table that God has already made for me and my friends that is much bigger and much larger, and I don't need to worry about like getting these credentials or listening to the assistants or like waiting for someone to give me a permission slip to do the damn thing. And I think that's so true for all of us. If we stop worrying about how do I get to the table, you know what, if they want to make a place for me, you know, like sure, I'll come to it.
Yep.
But I'm not primarily concerned with that table anymore, because there's all these humans out here who don't... like, why do we want to sit there? It is... What is... Ruby Sales said it on your podcast, Miss Jackie Lewis, I think.
Hello.
Miss Ruby Sales said the other day, it is not an honor to sit at the king's table. And what she meant by that was just, like, why do we think that, like, we want to, like, sit with them? Why do we want to sit with them? It's because, like, they've told us that this is what normal looks like.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
And this is what correct looks like. It looks like able-bodied, cisgender, male, affluent, good-looking, healthy by certain standards.
Not real healthy.
And the thing about it is like, while that is still a reflection of God, like, it's still, like, reflect, like, that is also devoid of nuance. That's devoid of story. Whiteness wants to strip us of our story. And that is what I think is just so sad about anything. It's just like, it is so easy to not think about it and to just go about it. But when we actually, if like we say that we want to do the damn thing, if we really do want a revolution, you know, it starts with healing that identity of like having forgiving ourselves of like what we did or didn't do, so that we can start getting people to say, hey, stop looking at this table. You're like, they're not.
That's kind of what I say about the United Methodist Church. So I'm like, nobody actually wants part of this. I don't know why you guys are like making rules, because it's like, you know, like it's not like it's the coolest place. Like, it's kind of like I love it because it's like my weird aunt that if anyone talked bad about it, I'm gonna be like, no, but yeah, she's kind of weird. Like, I think. this is this reality of there's so much goodness and the kingdom of God is so expansive, and it's these things and places and things, and when we open ourselves up to it and we hear voices that are out in the wilderness, I mean, again and again, if we look at scripture, that's what it is. It's hearing the voice calling. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's an unexpected voice, and sometimes it's your own. And I would say you've done a lot to help people find their voice, mister.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's something that I loved your book, by the way.
Yeah,
great,
so
great book. And I remember reading it on the beach and just like realizing that you gave voice to the things I was already feeling, like God is at least. And if that's all it is, it's helped me so much with all of my other practices. You know, who knows if like this whole thing about like, you know, pain and trauma living in the body, like I'm still going to show up to my yoga practice because, you know,
orthopraxy.
Yeah. It helps me. At minimum, I'm sweating and sweating is good for me. Or like,
and literally right now sweating.
Yeah. Literally sweating outside. That's why I tried to put on a face last night, y'all. And I looked good for it. There's one photograph and then it started sweating off and I'm like, oh, and now I feel self-conscious. And then I like wiped it all off and it looked like I cried my makeup off because it was so smeared. It was so bad.
I'm just telling people it's a smoky eye.
Oh yeah. Smoky eye.
How much time do we have? I ask.
Oh, we have until 12:30.
Okay. Good. Then there's enough time for me to ask this question.
Okay. Oh, here we go. He's flipping
it. My God.
So, I grew up evangelical, which meant LGBTQ meant sinners bound for hell.
Yeah.
Moved through that, thank goodness. But then when I moved through that, my understanding was this community is marginalized by the church. And society, frankly, and they're bound together in solidarity as one joyous rainbow family, free.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how it is.
Conflict or strife within their numbers.
Yeah, we've never ever fought with each other. We never drag each other on Twitter.
So that's kind of what I want to get to. You've gone from identifying. You've had a change in your identity in orientation. What has that been like for you in your experience and in your community?
I think externally, like within my circle of people, it's like, oh yeah, cool. Like they're just like, they're very down for it. And like, I think it's been really, really cool. Like I came out as gender fluid, gender queer, whatever you want to call it, about a year ago and some change, and then I probably about 4 or 5 months ago started using they them pronouns, but I'm really down for any pronouns as long as you're just being nice. So call me dude, call me girl, call me sis, call me bruh, call me they, just a little they-dy. A gentle them. And I think it's something my friend Austin Hartke has helped me unpack a lot. It's just like I haven't felt. Okay, here's a real confession. I took off my makeup last night because I felt embarrassed. Even though I looked so good, I really did.
Oh, they were gorgeous.
Thank you so much. But I'm still working through this desire around. It's like when I can't present feminine enough.
Yeah.
It makes me feel so sad because I know that like the body that I inhabit can never. Pass. And then it just like, and then I go like, that's the surface level fear, right? And what that surface level fear is talking to is that on right here is that I don't feel like I'm enough. But what is the truth under that is that God says that I am. And if that's all my faith has given me, then that's enough too. But that change has really caused me to confront my own internalized transphobia that I carry with me. It has caused me to address my own body shame that I have towards myself and how I put it out on others. It is addressed, I've recently had some weird food stuff happening, so me and my therapist are unpacking that. But I will say that as I have gone deeper and deeper into the mystery that is myself and my body, is that I meet God there. And that God isn't here to say, I'm going to God, you know, God is saying both, I'm here to fix it, but then the God face is looking back at me as myself. It's saying, I can look at that part of myself that is suffering and say, it's okay that you didn't want to wear makeup last night. It's okay. It's okay that you didn't feel masculine enough to talk to that guy at the bar. It's okay that you feel in between a lot. I just want you to be okay. And I'm going to be here with you every step of the way. That's self-parenting for me, and like just radical self-compassion is the thing that has propelled me forward. And it is that radical self-compassion that I'm trying to teach people through my spiritual direction and coaching, which is another thing I started recently, which is just reinforced that I am called. That was not the original question at all.
But how it was a good answer.
Yeah.
I know. I was so captivated by it. I was like,
so yeah, I will say the thing, the way that it's impacted me is just that, like, it's just queerness is just, if queerness is just the breaking of every single binary that ever was, any category that you try to put yourself in, and I'll say categories aren't bad as long as categories can be unlimited. You know, like we contain multiverses, right? We have so many different parts of us. And so I have just lived into the fullness of that Christ mystery, if you want to put that language on it, or like the mystery that is the ever expanding universe. Like, if God is that expansive and I am holding God here and God's in this temple, then it's kind of like the TARDIS, right? You know, you open, there's more, it's bigger on the inside. Anyone? TARDIS?
Yeah.
Doctor Who? I was like, four people nodding their heads. Yeah, I saw it one time.
It's a British show, but we had two channels growing up.
So good. But yeah, that's how I feel. It's just like, it's my change in identity. I mean, like, I always identified as queer, but just like being able to float through the cosmos that is my body and just let it like gravitate to whatever star it needs to. That's been really, really cool.
I think that's a beautiful thing too, is that whenever you do that, whenever you're doing that, even as your friend or people who hear you, then all of a sudden there's this like moment of like for other people, like maybe I can be inside of my own body, whatever that looks like. And I think people who have the opposite reaction, like are the people who there's something about their own identity and who they are. And you know, I think about, why do I remain in even church communities? I joke about, I mean, I am a United Methodist clergy member. I am, because I think, what would it look like for people to be in community with people that are different than them? And that doesn't happen that often in the world, right? So we can choose to just always be with our people. But like where I live, like the grocery store I go to, the gym I work out at, you have to have a certain amount of money to go to the gym I work out at. You have to, you know, Trader Joe's is kind of healthy. So you have to have a certain amount of money to even go there. And I think you could only be in your algorithms if you choose. So for me, church is really an opportunity for me to experience Christ with other people who aren't like me at all and I don't agree with. And I need that.
Gross.
I know. But I need that.
I mean, I need it too. I just, you know, I am not as, we're getting sanctified. We're working our way there.
But I think because I need people to know you, and if you're not ready to be there, then maybe it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for me to say, okay, this is how we're doing this thing together. And I don't always have hope, but sometimes I'm hopeful that that's what community is supposed to look like. It's supposed to be a place where you sharing that helps other people go.
I mean, that's what you and Fish do with like the liturgist gatherings, is like just seeing that community like blossom. It's like, you know, people who like seemingly have nothing in common except for the fact that we just know we need to be together, like you create space for people. I'm like, I feel like you need to worry less about the space you take up, because you do nobody a service by shrinking yourself. And you do our dear patron Saint Marian Williamson, who, if you're around, I love you. Okay, here's the true tea.
He's like, ordaining people and sainting them.
Listen, let me tell you what, A Return to Love changed my life. I listened to it twice on the way here because it's on audiobook. It's only 2 hours long. Download it. It's worth it. But she said, you know, it's not so much that we're afraid that we are powerless. Our biggest and deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. Who are you not to be the talented one, the beautiful one, the intelligent one? That's what we're asking ourselves all the time. But really, who are you not to be that person? Because you are a child of God. And by you shining your light, you give people the permission to shine themselves. And that's what you do. Like, you literally let people shine. And you let, like, you've, like, you're doing it right. You're doing, like, the allyship thing right. And I'll tell you when you're not.
That's the best thing, though. Like,
I do appreciate that.
Honestly, allies, you've got to have people who are truth tellers. Because my friend yesterday said, like, it's a co-conspiracy. Like, I need you to be, like, a co-conspirer, right? I need you to...
I want you to go to jail with me.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes.
I feel like that might happen one day, but
It should happen. In the People's Revolution, girl, I am ready. Y'all think I'm joking about the People's Revolution. But listen, you'll get on my secret Facebook page, and then you'll know. I don't have a secret Facebook page.
He does not have a secret Facebook.
I would recommend organizing over an encrypted group protocol and not Facebook personally.
Whatever.
It lets you maximize your pre-arrest actions.
Sick.
I don't even know what any of that means.
If anyone is organizing serious shit of acts of resistance, I rather enjoy helping people set up an infrastructure that facilitates that in a way that is secure against
snooping.
Hey,
if you're interested in joining the People's Revolution mailing list.
it's on Proton Mail. It's only encrypted.
Yeah. Just come by later to wherever I am, and I'll hand you the password and the thing, and we'll go to that. So...
You need a UB key. Sorry, that's a real deep joke. Literally no one got it.
But the people who are listening on the internet, when you hear it, text me, tweet us, tell us if you got it. Call in. We're standing by.
I feel like we just started like a telethon.
Absolutely. Listen, let me tell you what. This podcast ain't free, bitch. That's a great segue. It's a great segue to remind all of you people out there that if you enjoyed this podcast, you can help make more shit like this possible by becoming a sustaining partner on Patreon. It's the easiest way to give to the creators in your life that are making the content that matters. You got one. I got one. You need one. Honestly, you could literally make so much good money off of that. Not that it's about that. No. Okay. Here's the true tea. Like, I spend, like, I think it's like... I don't know anyone in the creative field of, like, shit that we do that isn't working 50-plus hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's just, like, I will do, like, you know, 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon, 16 hours into the night, you know, to make things happen. So all that to say is that your cash does help make ministry happen, if you want to put it in those terms. But let me tell you what.
Trigger warning.
Listen, I think of what I do as a ministry. Because, you know, what we're doing is we're giving, like, if what is ministry but making space for people?
I like that.
For whatever it is. So all I have to say is please support your creatives out there. It really does mean the world to us.
I was talking to our producer last week on The Liturgist, and she's like, you know, I started working with y'all, and I thought it was like a media company. And now that I'm in, I've realized it's definitely a ministry. And I was like, don't say that.
Don't you fucking say that.
Never ever say that again. But you're right, like, the space making thing is the difference.
That
makes it, like, extra complicated.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, I don't do well with
Modern
that.
Family doesn't care if, like, it hurts the audience's feelings unless it affects ad revenue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, when you're creating space for people, it's not only a greater responsibility, it's a greater desire to serve and help people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's also realizing that, like, this is interesting. Like, we only have, like, 10 minutes, so, like, we can touch on this. But, like, 5 minutes?
Oh, we can have 10. Oh.
Oh, thank you. See, that's what allyship looks like, guys. Making space. Ministry. You see, it all ties together. This is what's going to get me kicked out of progressive Christianity right here. I'm just mouthing off. Well, I would love to... Let's end on a lighter note, okay. I think, because, like, I've had a lovely time crying with you on the stage.
I know, I don't cry. This is weird. Whatever.
Well, it's because you're with me, and because and we're with him.
That's true. You guys all make me cry. It's the weirdest.
It's because I love you.
I love you too.
Just like, oh, okay.
I haven't cried yet. Trying to not break the streak.
Hey, would you like me to make you cry? Because I can do it.
Okay.
It's very easy.
That's manipulative.
It's not hard. This is like...
I know, but I love...
Like making me cry is like make someone else breathe. Like, there's no challenge.
Don't stare into his eyes. He's going to cry.
I love you. You are my friend. We have been friends since we were under that tent.
It's fucking working.
Okay. We were drinking beers, and then we cried our tears. Hey, Mike, you are my friend.
Guys, you're not going to believe this. He just wrote that.
Aw, me.
Hugs.
I love you.
That was the best.
Aw, feelings. Well, let's talk. I wanted to, can we talk about the time we saw a guy literally pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Oh, yeah. We went to the Magic Castle.
We went on a date to the Magic Castle, all of us, and
it was so good.
It was so fun.
Oh, my gosh. Tell you what, I didn't have any. You have to dress fancy to go to this club?
Yeah.
I had no fancy clothes at all, so I went to a Buffalo Exchange, and guess what I found?
Oh, it was so good.
I found a white tuxedo jacket with embroidering on it. Like, some unlucky groom had to wear this to a wedding because it was hideous.
Well, first of all, you were in West Hollywood. That was for sure going to be in there.
Two, I found these pants that the label said Dolce and Gabbana, and I said, these are women's pants, and I'm a woman today. And they're these giant ass bell bottoms that are like a play on tuxedo pants. I showed up. We looked so good. I wore a bolo tie. And then we went and saw Close Up Magic, and it freaked me the hell out.
I know. I felt so bad because I was punching you, and
the entire time she's
how
like,
are they doing it?
I know. It was like this. And we were both just like, hold on. Slow down. Do it again. Wait. Hold on.
And he's all like,
and Mike's over here because Mike is actually a member and card-carrying member.
Literally have my magic card in my wallet right now.
Because
you guys have to prove to anyone I'm a member in good standing of the
so
Academy
credentials
of
don't
Magical
matter.
Arts.
Credentials don't matter except to magicians.
Now my question is: now are you coming out to us as a witch now? Which I'm down for because here I am.
Absolutely not. Because magicians do illusions that play like that work
Michael.
With the storytelling mechanism of the brain to make something not real seem true.
Ooh. So like a pastor of an evangelical
magic.
Church?
Like witches actually do magic.
Yeah, we do.
Magicians just like, that was pretty fun, yeah? How about a dad joke while I prepare the next trick? Like it's a different zone.
It's a different zone.
But
if y'all
both are amazing, but one is like purely for entertainment.
Rock and roll.
And I don't understand how either work.
I do love magic. Like, I love... In fact, real missed opportunity. I shouldn't have done Ask Science Mike at Magic Goose. I should have just
done Magic Goose
show.
Magic Goose.
Magic Goose.
Oh, my gosh. Just
welcome to Magic Goose, everybody.
Okay, just, you know...
Gonna pull a goose out of a...
I think I had that drink last night.
Moo-moo. I don't know.
A moo... I can wear my moo-moo later for you. And oh my god, and then I'll be your hot assistant. Yes!
Yeah, but if we're honest, you're wearing my muumuu. That's what last happens year. All the time.
Last year, let me tell you what. Last year, guys, I had a really wonderful encounter with somebody. And it was while I was... Listen, he was a very butch guy.
Okay.
Listen, but I just want to paint the picture. Like, very, very butch dude. And this is what I'm wearing. A giant floppy hat, a low-cut tank top, a pink floral kimono from the House of Heath, black booty shorts, and chacos. And let me tell you what, I was looking rough. But, baby, even on your roughest days, you can get it. I want you to remember that.
And I also look at, with you.
Listen, one of my practices, I stand naked in front of the mirror every day and tell myself, you look so good. You could get it. And I just like, and honestly, like, you send that energy out into the universe, what comes back to you? Threefold, baby. For those of you
that's not where you think it's going. I used to have really bad body shame. Then I had a great LSD trip and it just went away.
Yeah.
And ever since then, every time I walk by a mirror naked, I stop and am literally captivated.
Yes.
By
your body
how
is so
incredible
hot.
My hairy, obese body looks. I'm just like,
listen,
God damn, I look great.
Yes. Because here's the other mucking, here's the other truth is that you are somebody's type, no matter what body you have.
Right.
There is somebody out there who wants to have sex with you. That is the damn truth. And so, you know what? open up your heart and just let it begin. Don't think that you have to like have a body that looks a certain way to have sex with any other kind of person that you want to.
And for our asexual friends, you can take some attraction toward you simply as an affirmation of your goodness, but not an expectation that you are in any way not normal or okay.
Yeah, here's the damn truth. I told Michael Gunger that if he and Lisa ever opened up their marriage, I would be interested in hollering at them. And you know what he said?
Together.
You know, yeah, and you know what he said? Thank you so much. And that's it. I'm just like, all I want to do is just express that I love you so deeply.
I was in that hot tub with you guys.
I know. It's because you want a heterosexual monogamous arrangement, and I love that for you, but that's just not the story I'm telling. You know what I'm saying? We are running short on time. We got like 4 more minutes, and so what?
I like his concept of time.
What? What do you mean? The 4 minutes is short on time. That's like we're running.
Yeah. Go.
Great.
Okay. I want to thank you all once again for coming to the to this, you know, delightful 100th episode. It was a joy and an honor for me to have my friends here. So
it's
please
so
give
fun
it up.
To see. Oh. Yeah.
Nope. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's just really fun because we all met because you came to my very first talk. I thought no one was going to come because it was
and
10
everyone,
in the morning.
The tent was packed because
of
the Holy Ghost.
It was 10 in the morning. I was by myself. I was like, I can't. I have my friends told me to come to this thing. I didn't know what the Wild Goose was. And I walked in with like way too big heels and was like, this is not.
She looked
through
like,
the mud.
I'm like, this isn't Coachella. I'm confused. So I like walked in and like was, and Mike said, I'll come, even if it's just me. But you have to give your entire presentation, even if it's just me. And I was like, okay. So,
and to be fair, that wasn't a lack of confidence in her, but a lack of confidence in 10 a.m. at Wild
Goose. Yeah. So he was sitting in the front, and then it filled, and this beautiful human came in. And
looking like a trash hot fire.
I loved it. And
I was wearing running shorts, this fanny pack, and like a neon tank top.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. And you said, and every time as I was talking, you would just be like, yes, and just respond.
Because I'm a Pentecostal woman.
Which is helpful. And at the end, you came up to me, and you said, hello. I am the Kevin Garcia.
I did not say that.
You didn't. He didn't.
I am not that.
He said, hi, I'm Kevin Garcia, and I'm your new best friend. And I was like, that's true. And then you gave me your card, and on your card it did say, the Kevin Garcia, and it had all the things that
he
does.
It had my website. It said thekevingarcia.com.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it had all these other things, and at the bottom it said, hot mess.
Still true.
And I loved it. I loved it.
Some things never change.
But it was that moment where you guys both brought me into this space and together, and so I'm grateful. I'm glad for the goose.
Glad for the goose.
Love the goose.
Okay, before we hang up the phone or whatever, I would love for you guys like share on the internet where people can find you and like connect with you and all that shit.
AskScienceMike.com has a link to literally everything I'm involved in.
I'm Rev Sarah Heath on all things on the internet, and I will be doing church on Sunday. So there, that's what I do.
Wait, when are you leaving?
I'm not this Sunday. I just mean in general.
Oh, right. And you can find me across the internet at the Kevin Garcia. And I, yeah, lots of. I already gave you all my shit earlier. So, thank you to both of you for
Thanks
being
for
here.
Thanks for staying and coming.
I love you. Thank you for coming. So until we hang out again, please make sure you take your meds, call your therapist, move your body, drink some water, eat something delicious, and know that you're very, very loved and really just a fucking badass. Thank you for being here today. This has been another episode of Tiny Revolution. My name is Kevin Garcia, and I'll talk to you bitches next time. Bam, bam, bam.
Let's give them some. Come on. We've all just had a tiny revolution right here in this tent.
Someone come take a picture of me and my friends real quick.
Not gonna lie, listening back to that episode was incredible for me. So once again, thank you to Mike and Sarah for being on the show. Thank you for being such a supporter of my work. And just, you know, being my friends. I have so much fun with y'all. Thank you to everyone who came to the event. Thank you for you for listening to the 100th episode of A Tiny Revolution. I won't go over all the things. Just want to remind you, this podcast is made possible because people like you support the work on Patreon. If you don't know what Patreon is by now, Patreon is a way for you to support the creatives in your life that are making the content that matters. So if this episode was good for you, if you loved hearing, you know, our stories and you want to hear more stories like it, you can become a supporting partner on Patreon. Even as little as like, you know, $5, $10, $15, whatever you want is really, really helpful in the creation of content like this. It's just getting into the hands of people who need it. I'm just honestly beyond blessed to have been on the air for 3 years. Because of support from people like you. So I hope that if you are out there and you're listening to this and you loved it, that you will consider becoming a patron so that we can continue to make more content. We're retooling the rewards in a little bit to update them and make them accurately reflect what I'm actually able to do. I hope that you'll join me on Patreon to really, I'm just so thankful for all of y'all who have made this possible. So thank you so much. Seriously, I love y'all. One more time, just for the people in the back, Reimagination Masterclass is going to be live. Is already live, so go ahead and register. We're going to kick off on the 22nd. Can't wait to get y'all in there and start reimagining life together, doing more artistic things. And like I said, I'm going to be taking a little bit of a break from producing new episodes on A Tiny Revolution for a while, but there's going to be encore episodes every week. I'm going to go back into the archives, like episodes that you might have not have heard, my favorite episodes, your favorite episodes, the ones that really got the ball rolling. I'm going to share them and reshare them because like they did so much for me. So like the quality might not be as good, but let me tell you what, the content, baby, is queen. Anyways. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the 100th episode of A Tiny Revolution. My name is Kevin Garcia, and talk to you later, baby. Bye.
Prepared and excited. We have 3 minutes. Can I tell y'all a joke while we're waiting?
I'm ready.
It's the same joke I tell at every single thing I do.
I'm not ready.
It's a funny joke. Okay. I don't like this. Because now I can lean back and be
back.
Lazy.
Oh, yeah.
So here's my joke. I'm going to stand up and do it. Hi, welcome to the pre-show of A Tiny Revolution. My name is Kevin Garcia. Thank you so much. And so this is how I start all of my talks and shows. There is a man, and he has a pet pig who he loves so much and would do anything for. And then one day he comes home, and his pet pig is not responsive. And he's like, okay, this is very strange. Just feed it and pet it and, like, pick it up and move, but it's just not responding. And he's like, oh, my God, I need to take my pet pig, who I love so much and would do anything for, to Dr. Jerome's veterinary clinic. And so he takes him to Dr. Jerome's veterinary clinic. And he says, Dr. Jerome, my pet pig, who I love so much and would do anything for, is not responsive, and it's not eating, and it's not moving, and it's just like kind of like not breathing, and I don't know what's wrong with it. Please, Dr. Jerome, help. I'll do anything. And Dr. Jerome says, I'm so sorry, sir, but your pig is dead. And he says, no, Dr. Jerome, it cannot be true. I love this pig, and I would do anything for it. Please, is there anything you can do? And Dr. Jerome says, there's a couple of things we can do. And so he leaves the room, and he comes back with a dog, and he puts the dog up on the table. Dog walks over to the pig and, like, sniffs it and, like, does this thing with his nose with it. Hops off the table, looks at Dr. Jerome, and says, woof, woof, and leaves the room. He says, I'm so sorry, sir. Your pig is dead. He's like, no, Dr. Jerome, it cannot be true. Please, is there anything else we can do? And Dr. Jerome says, here's one more thing that we can do. And he leaves the room, and he comes back with a cat. He puts the cat on the table. Cat walks up to the pig and kind of, like, sniffs it and, like, paws at it. And then he hops off the table, looks at Dr. Jerome, says, meow, meow, and leaves the room. I can do it. And he says, I'm so sorry, sir. Your pig is most definitely dead. And the man says, I understand, Dr. Jerome, that my pig is dead and that there's nothing that we can do about it now. Please, hand me my bill so I can go bury my dead pet pig who I love so much and would do anything for. And he hands him the bill. And he looks at it. He says, Dr. Jerome, this is confusing to me. Why is it $2,500 for you to tell me that my pig is dead? And he said, well, sir, it was just going to be, $20 for the copay, but then you wanted us to do the lab work and the CAT scan, so.
Oh.
Welcome to A Tiny Revolution, everybody.
Kevin Garcia, everybody.
And
here
it only
Central.
Gets better.
That's a word for it.
I respect that joke so much. Wait,
that's because you're a dad.
He's got to intro us first before we...
Well, I don't have to. This is Kevin Garcia. The podcast is called A Tiny Revolution, which in itself says so much. And now we're going to experience... He's got two amazing guests who he will introduce. And away we go. Kevin, take it away.
Are we recording?
We are.
Are you sure?
Well, I have to double check that, but yes, we are.
Okay, cool. Because this has happened to me before where I forget to record my own damn podcast, so...